This is Lachlan Rouston.
This is Ralph Friedman. And you're listening to the fittest podcast in Australia,
The Mind Muscle Project. Project, welcome back to this episode. It almost feels like now when we get on the mics and we drop fire, it feels like a nice holiday from the locker room right now.
The regular day.
Yeah, because it's so chaotic at the moment. But a little bit of housekeeping before we move on. We've been told by our producer, and it's facts, that you guys need to get on our text campaign. Now, let me explain. We have done 850 plus episodes. There is so much content out there. How do you know where to start? Or maybe someone who's like, hey, I want to listen to that podcast, but so many episodes, I don't know where to start. We have a solution for you. All you have to do is go to our website, themindmuscleproject.com/text, and then we will text you one a day our 30 most popular episodes. So starting on day one, we will text you through to your phone a link. That link is a Spotify link. If you don't have Spotify at this point, you're living under a fucking rock. So get Spotify and you'll be able to listen to that episode. So not sure what it's going to text me today. I think I'm up to day 10 in the campaign, but I know a couple of them have been like Brett Contreras, Sonny Webster, James Smith. So a lot of stuff in there that you guys can check out. Super valuable and just makes it really easy for you. Great starting point for you guys. So again, it's our website, themindmuscleproject.com/text, and we'll message your phone, and anyone in the world can get that. Second bit of housekeeping, we are always looking for great people to join what we do. In fact, the last people that have been coming into join our team, or the last three or four people, have all come through the podcast. So we're constantly looking out for people that are a good fit for our ethos, our mission, our story, our team, where we want to go. We want to become the biggest fitness brand in Australia. So if you want to jump on board that sort of team, we'd love to hear from you. It's really easy, guys. Just shoot us a message on Instagram, or if you go to the Creature Fitness website, you can. There's a careers tab there and you can apply as well. Right now, the internship program is full. We have some people in it, but we need a wait list. We need people to reach out to, and you know, if you try to get on it when we're taking in the next intake and you're at the bottom of the wait list, you're going to miss out. So if you are interested now, you can head over to creaturefitness.com.au and there's a careers tab there, or you can just shoot us a message on Instagram and we'll put you into it. Anything you want to add to that program? Internship?
No, I mean, we've had really good people so far. Amazing. So like people. We said, it's full at the moment, but spots will open up in the future. And the best part about it is if you go really well and you love it and we love you, then obviously you can continue to work is part of the business after that. But even if you don't, you walk away with a bunch of stuff you've learned. Better at coaching, better at programming, better at business and sales. So you still improve yourself.
Absolutely. Very valuable. Okay, cool. So I guess that's, that's really valuable. You know what's not valuable and what time I will never get back is Jake Paul versus Ben Askren. That card, did you have any idea of those names?
I do know the fight. Okay. All right. I do know. It's big on the internet.
Yeah. So if you, again, if you were living under a rock, Jake Paul, YouTuber. Don't be fooled by the title YouTuber. The guy can box. And then Ben Askren, who's a famous mixed martial artist, but he's really a wrestler. He just uses punches to disguise his wrestling. They fought on the weekend. It was a big hype card. Jake Paul knocked the fuck out of Ben Askren. Not really that surprising, to be honest. It was just a bit of, look, I was there to watch that match. That was it.
You went.
No, I was there at home, or I'd pay for the card to watch the match.
What?
I didn't go.
I was there.
I didn't manage to get into the USA and back. It was...
You paid for it.
Yeah, so you pay for the event.
You were one of the millions of suckers.
And from like the first... So you see a fight card, and naturally between fights, or typically how it's been, the longest you'll wait is like 30 minutes. So in five fights, including the fights, which go for like another 30 minutes... Yeah, you're probably going to be like a 2.5-3 hour, at worst 3.5 hour event. But I was 5 hours deep, and we still hadn't watched Jake Paul with Ben Askren. It was a fucking waste of my time.
There was musicians and stuff, right? There was like some entertainment.
Yeah, I'm here to watch boxing. I'm not here to watch live music. And it was shit. Live music without a crowd is shit. It was a disgrace, honestly. I was so angry, so disappointed. All the people I was watching it with were so pissed off by the end. That's the worst thing you do, right? You launch a promotion. It's called Triller. Worst name ever. Yeah.
And they did Mike Tyson, right, as well. I think it's the same company doing these like kind of fake fights, like big promotion fights.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So same thing. Guys, what are you doing? Like you're turning off your audience. You're ruining your name. You've got a panel of five famous commentators they're all high as fuck. Like, they're so high, and they're saying how high they are. You know you're high when you're saying how high you are all the time. Every second sentence is, man, I'm so high. Man, Snoop Dogg's weed. Man, I'm so high. It was a joke. It was awful to listen to. It was awful to watch, and it just went way too long. And so even if another good fight shows up, I mean, at the end of the day, I guess maybe I'm just a purist. I want to watch fighting. That's what I'm here for. I want to watch good boxing.
No, it's not that you're a purist, I don't think. It's just that the problem with this is, I remember I was quite into boxing, but you just want to see the best in any sport.
Yeah. I'm happy to watch a joke fight in like a replay. Like, oh yeah, I'll like watch the replay of it, and I'll skip all this bullshit and just watch the fight. That was the right way to do it. That's how I'll do it in the future. I'll never pay for another card again. And if there's a fight I want to watch, I'll just go and illegally stream it. So some meme, it was like, I think I got it here. It was like, I paid $0 to illegally stream the Jake Paul versus Ben Askren fight, and it was still a waste of money. That's exactly how it felt. It was a fucking joke. Anyway, and I'm sure anyone else who watched it as well also really not only wants their money back, wants their time back.
The only positive,
give them your whole Sunday.
The only positive I see out of this is that it does seem to me like boxing will be a much popular sport in 10, 15 years' time. Because people look at this and like maybe start to get back into it. Think about it, it's a big profile for the sport.
Oh, yeah.
People grow up like, man, I want to be good at boxing.
It gets a young generation interested in
it. I want to get into this. Yeah. You know? So I think it, because it had a really bad years, right? It's obviously nothing like it used to be in the heydays.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know when you said the quiet periods, maybe the 2000s.
After Tyson, it was a bit quiet.
They were like the soft periods. Now they've brought it back, obviously with kind of joke fighting. Even in Australia, it's back. There's like Paul Gallen's fighting, right? It's pretty well known.
Yeah.
Same thing though, right? He's obviously not the best. He's better, but he's obviously not the best boxer.
Yeah.
But everybody knows who he is, and it's like he's getting big name fights. But I imagine that potentially, yeah, in 10 years' time, hopefully you're just watching the best boxers, but they are really good boxers again because everyone wants to do it.
I just think real good boxing will always be there. It's just how many people will be watching from what generations, that's all.
Mm.
Whereas like you got a guy like Ryan Garcia, this young kid, millions of followers on YouTube and Instagram, plays the full social media game, but also a really good boxer. So kids are seeing that, and there's this like young kid with Ferraris and shit and gold gloves, and they're like, oh, I want to be like him, and that brings people into the sport. And guys like Jake Paul. But yeah, anyway, that was just a waste of time. Just put on a good boxing event, for fuck's sake. Like, just because that's the thing, right? If you bring this generation in to watch this, and they sit there and they've watched 4.5 hours of live music, it's kind of going to turn them off boxing as well. Well, that's what they think boxing is. They think it's just this stupid parade of all this other stuff. Anyway, so it's a huge waste of time.
Aren't we going to host one at Locker Room, though?
Yeah, but it'll be pure boxing. You versus me. Okay, so speaking of wasting time on the weekend, I've actually come to this interesting place where I've managed to somehow keep booking heaps of stuff on my weekends. And I actually don't know if that is a good or a bad thing. Like, sometimes I look at a completely empty weekend, and I'm like, oh, this is going to suck. It's going to be boring. And I find something for myself to do. But, I mean, it's, you know, to be honest, with 75 Hard, every day is busy. You've always got stuff to get done. But let's talk outside the context of 75 Hard. Do you like a structured weekend? Do you like things to do? Do you like it half full, or do you like it completely empty? What's your personal
I think preference? If you have it completely empty, you get depressed.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because people are like, no, I just want to chill out on the weekend.
Yeah, and then you get to Sunday, you're like, ugh, nobody likes.
Yeah, I think you want some stuff in there. You don't want to be back to back to back to back because that's exhausting.
Yeah, then you get to Monday, you're like, okay, when's my break period?
Yeah, but you want, I still feel like it's nice to have some structure. It's like, cool, I'm going for breakfast with these friends. In the gap in the day, we'll do a workout. You know, we'll go do some work here, or I'll spend some reading time here, 4 or 5 hours, and then I'll go to dinner with my parents or something. I like something like that.
Yeah, I think you learn more about someone, how they spend their weekend, than how they spend their week.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
I just notice it a lot. It's always talking to clients, oh, how do you spend your weekend? Because sometimes during the week, it's a bit out of their control. You know, they've gone down the path of this job, and that's just what they've got to do with the job.
Right.
Or they've like started a business, and that's just what it takes right now.
Yeah.
Right? So they're doing that. But on the weekend, it's like, you've got a lot of choice.
Mm.
You know, and I think, yeah, some people, they almost spend all week regretting what they did on the weekend.
Yeah.
Some people go into the week firing because of how they spent themselves on the weekend, you know? You just learn a bit about yourself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, definitely some people, you struggle to set boundaries sometimes and you put too much in, but definitely the other way as well. You think that, oh man, if I had a fully free weekend, I'd be the best, and then you do it and you're like, oh, so boring.
No. Yeah, I agree. What's interesting, first time in... So, if you guys don't know, when Raf and I started gym, I was 21, Raf, you were 22. I pretty much gave up my entire social life at that point with the business to train more than anything, and then on the side run the gym, and had no time to, well, not no time, but it just didn't fit my values at the time to be social. And I pretty much lost my entire friendship group from high school, which, you know, I was fine with at the time. And I have no regrets about that now. But
let's be honest, they kicked you out.
They kicked me out. I was a loser. Like, fucking CrossFitter.
Fitness freak loser. Carrying his mizzy around and shit.
But what was interesting is last night, actually, I caught up with one of my best friends from high school. He just moved back from the Gold Coast to Sydney. He's in film. And
do I know him?
I don't think so. I don't think you've met this guy. And he was one of my closer friends in high school. And we caught up and we were talking. It's probably been 7-8 years. I think the first or the second year that we opened Creature in Marrickville is when I last saw him. So it's been a long time. And a lot of years, and it's been over a decade since I graduated high school. And we were just talking because we came from, now, these are just facts. The diversity of your friendship group is quite low in terms of what people are doing now. There's like, you know, there's lawyers, there's doctors, there's accountants, and what else? And there's like you and the Afterpay guy.
That's pretty much it. That's it.
Right. And everyone kind of fits. And we were kind of going through, oh, what's this person doing now? It's absolutely wild, like how different everything is. And they all live in so many different countries and stuff. Like most of our friendship group lives all over the world. And they all do like such weird job. Almost none of them are in corporate. I think there's one lawyer out of all of them. And so we just had a really, really diverse group. And I think it's just fascinating when I'm catching up with someone from such a long time that, and you have, it's interesting because you have discussions where you're almost talking about how you were 10 years ago, because that is the context that you're reflecting on, because you don't really know each other that well now. You know, it's like you're kind of different people. And so you have this interesting conversation where it's like, oh, back then I felt like this, or back then I thought my life was going to turn out this way. And, you know, so much time has passed and there's so much to catch up on that I find it's such an interesting conversation when it was like, who could have foreseen that I was doing this now, that I would be this ambitious? Like you could have, I would ask him, like, could you have ever thought that my obsession for the gym could turn into an ambitious like entrepreneurship career? And he's like, man, it's like, it's crazy. Like it's almost unimaginable. And I'm like, all you ever talked about was being like a footballer and being super rich. And you ended up like wanting to make movies and stuff now. And I find it super interesting. And
you ended up poor and you suck at soccer.
No, he's hopefully on the path to make a lot of money. But we also then can talk about like parenting, because we're moving into a phase in our life where I guess we're thinking about becoming parents, both of us, at some point.
I like how you framed that. You've guessed. You are.
We are becoming. Yeah. We will become parents at some point. And it's now closer than it is far away in terms of the last 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's we're able to look at our friendship group and be like, man, it's really unfortunate that his parents were like this and treated him like this. And because you can kind of see he ended up on a bad path. And then we're also able to, because we're having this discussion of nature and nurture, because in many ways, we all lived in a very similar area. We all had a lot of the same values, same friendship, same school. So a lot of factors were very similar. And so one of the big defining differences between us is our parents at that point in your life, right? Because you haven't really done that much. You haven't done a career. Like you're all getting similar grades at school. Like whatever. You're learning the same shit. And then we had an interesting conversation about like, parenting styles, because you're able to look at, wow, here's the way he got parented. And obviously you don't know the full story, not there every single day, hearing every conversation and how that kind of turned out for him. And yeah, in some ways I do feel sorry for some of the friends that, because like some of them have turned out to be like drug addicts and stuff, like pretty bad, in and out of like jail and rehab and stuff like that, and just torn up, fucking disaster. But anyway, you could see it came from the parents first, you know. And it's like, you don't choose your parents, right? And that shit happens to you. And like, I guess we were just very thankful that we were able to have a stable home growing up. That's pretty important.
Yeah, well, that's the luck. Even, it's funny, because even things like, sometimes you think, you know, you're playing sport, you're like, man, I just have like this mad internal drive. You know, like when it's hard, I like push really hard in my sport. But what you don't realize is you're still lucky to get that. And usually you get that from your parents, someone, maybe a coach you had along the way or someone you were with.
Yeah.
All athletes like that. But you feel, you're like, man, this is just from me.
Nah.
You really feel like it's from you, because it seems like that in the moment.
Yeah.
You're like, man, I don't even know what it is, but you know, if I'm doing a beep test, like I just like willing to go a bit further than like everyone around me. It's like, it's from me, obviously. And I guess part of that is from you because your genetics.
Yeah.
But there's definitely another part, which even if I look back myself, you're like, oh, there's like some times along the way where I met this guy and I really looked up to him and he did that.
Hmm.
And you realize like, oh, that's kind of actually where it comes from. It's not like this internal fire.
Yeah. We think about all the things that create, I guess, your ego, right? Your identity is so many compounding moments of you either won and you built a little bit of confidence and you thought X about yourself, or you lost a little bit of confidence and you thought Y about yourself. Mm. And it's like, if you stack enough of those to the right or to the left, you end up a totally different person, right? Even though it seems like a slight trajectory over to the right versus the left, like, you just never know what could happen. Like, so I always think of the example, like, how different our lives would be is if we did the podcast, but we never did the gyms. Like, imagine if totally we different. Just did the podcast and, like, I don't know, maybe we still trained at the gym. Mm. We still do all the same stuff, competed at CrossFit, did all that, but we did another gym. And then, like, the side hustle that we did to our regular jobs, maybe I graduated uni, I was doing, like, X-Fears or whatever. And then you were, like, I don't know, working in banking or something, or being a lawyer. But we did the podcast on the side, and then the podcast took off massive. And, like, all we did was the podcast. Mm. Imagine the conversations would be very different. So just something as small as that is just so, so interesting. And that could just come from timing, or, like, someone saying something to you, or, you know, zigged when you should have zagged. Like, so many different things. It's just so hard to know. Like, imagine if we were way more successful at CrossFit. We might not have done any of this. We might have just gone the athlete route. Nah, gym's getting in the way. Let's just be full-time athletes. So, I don't know. It's just, I think it's a very, very interesting way to look at it. But another part of the conversation I thought was also interesting is how we both unanimously agreed that we are fucking glad that we didn't have social media at school when we were growing up in high school.
Yeah, that seems like I got it, I think, in the final year of school.
Yeah.
But it wasn't all-consuming.
No, it was like, you had Facebook.
I actually think the social media is not too bad. It's more, I guess, the fact it's on you 24/7.
Yeah.
And I think how much better technology has got. Like, I remember it wasn't as bad because, like, the photos you could barely even see, like, on the camera phone. It was, like, such low quality that it was it was not engaging.
Yeah, no.
You're like, oh, yeah, like, I can kind of make out that girl on the phone, whatever. And you just move on, right? It wasn't, like, better than touch rugby.
No.
But now it's better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even, like, video games. Like, we had the start of video games, but we didn't have, like, the video game, the esports version of video games, you know? Like, we could have got way more sucked into that. I know I would have got way more sucked into video games.
Yeah, because when I was playing, what's the main game? Like,
Fortnite?
Nah, like, the one, like, parents are always like, don't play that.
Call of Duty?
Nah, where you, like, police always come after you.
GTA. Oh, GTA?
GTA.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the original, I think I was after GTA 1 and then 2, it was still the 2D version. So, you would look down from above. There was no 3D. So you drive the cars like it's 3D, right?
Was GTA 2 2D?
GTA was 2D when I was playing. So you would you would look down. Show so what I mean by 2D is you look up from above.
Right.
So you would just look down on the city. Look up, I don't know if it's 1 or 2, like the original GTA. I think it's 2, man.
Give him 1 as benefit of the doubt. GTA 2.
Yeah, look.
Oh my God.
That's 2. And then I remember 3 came out and 3 was way better. Yeah, that was when that's when I got GTA.
That's when I played GTA.
Yeah, that's when I got
GTA 2 was 2D.
It's that 1 year I've got on you.
Oh my God. Dude, that is so
and
pathetic.
I thought 2 was fantastic. And then when I got 3, I got totally... Don't even pick that up. Like, I get tremors about police coming after me.
Bro, that is like a...
It's got 4 heads of policemen. Dude, that's when you fucked.
What year? Okay, so there had to be a few years between 2 and 3.
3 was such a leap.
Yeah, because 3 is...
Yeah, 3 is
way
somewhat,
different
yeah,
than 2.
3 is totally different.
It's almost like... Oh, okay. 1999, 2001. Fuck, only 2 years?
Yeah.
Wow. Technology went fast in those 2 years. Holy shit. Yeah, man, that's crazy. Yeah, GTA was like...
I remember I used to play so much that I would hear a police siren on the street and I would get panicked. I'd be like, we're done.
Man, I didn't know you played that much GTA. Anyway, so one of the things that... I think is very interesting, and it's actually a podcast that Andy Frisella has brought up a few times, it's a topic he brings up a lot, but he did a whole podcast on this. I thought it was worth addressing just because everyone has an opinion on money, and he had a whole episode, and for those of you who don't know, Andy Frisella is, he's the guy who invented 75 Hard, so he's like, been consuming a bit of his content recently.
Our Lord and Savior.
Yeah. The cult. And he had this podcast called The Morality of Money. Did you listen to that one? It's way back. So, yeah. 16 or 17,
maybe.
He brought it out. But anyway, he had a discussion on why most people, when you hear the word rich person or like a wealthy person, why most people think negatively of that person. And what he was saying, and I think a lot of people think that as well, especially if you're Australian, like generally with the tall poppy syndrome, someone that has a lot of money, you're like, oh, it's like a bad person, right? Or it's like, he's a dickhead. And, you know, I've even... And look, I don't know if... I haven't met these people that say like my parents would talk about, because my parents, they know some wealthy people as well, just through the friendship circles and the schools that my sister's gone to and stuff. And generally, they don't... There's some of them that they speak about in this way, in a negative way. And I haven't met these people. So it might be the case. They might be super egotistical and a dickhead and, you know, not have great conversation. But I always find just to observe it, and it's interesting, people's opinion on it. When they see someone in a really nice car, they naturally think, oh, this person must be like a dickhead or a sleazy salesman or something like that. And it was explained really well by Andy on his podcast that most of that conditioning comes from our parents' generation, where we didn't have a voice as individuals in the same way that we have a voice now on social media. So he always gives the example of like, say a... So to get access to the public's eyeballs in their generation was the radio and TV. And the only companies... And like, if you had radio, TV, like your products went nuts, like regardless of how good they were, just because you had so many eyeballs on you if you had good marketing. But it was so expensive that only the big companies could get on board. That's why there was less stars, right?
Because there was not many channels and not many ads to run.
Exactly. Right? Yeah. So there's only like, you know, you watch three channels and one radio station. Mm. Like, that's it for everything. It's like, how many fucking people are there on Instagram? Like billions, right? That's so many different channels. So you've got this company, it advertises, you know, maybe this laundry machine cleans your clothes in 30 minutes and they come out sparkling new or whatever, and it never breaks, and it's like lifetime warranty or whatever. And they could just make all this shit up and you would buy it and say it breaks and it leaks water and like the warranty is void or something. How long would it take you to tell everyone that you know to not buy those washing machines? It would take you a long time, right? To get out to an effective amount of people to slow down their sales, it would take a while. But now with the power of the internet, so I guess the point is you could make a lot of money and be very unethical back in the day. And that's just one example. It could be loads of different industries, right? It would take a very long time. Obviously, your business in the long run would crumble, but a lot of people got away with a lot of things that they don't get away with.
Like LG.
LG.
Terrible quality products.
Yeah. Are they? Generally?
Everything I've ever bought from them, okay, is horrific.
All right. But look, you got that out on the podcast.
Yeah.
And now 10,000 people have just heard that. But if you think about nowadays, you can't be like that. The way to... Because everyone has a voice, right? Because everyone can leave a review and like blast it out to 1,000 people on social media. And so companies... Obviously, they're still unethical companies. But nowadays, the consequences are so dire. You serve like... You'd be rude to one customer, serve them one dodgy meal... That's a bad review. Thousands of people are going to see it, right? That's more power than you've ever had as a consumer, ever. And so therefore, as a brand, your reputation and what you do in terms of the value you provide, like there's a lot more accountability to that. So now when people get rich in our generation, you have to provide a lot of value. The people that we know that we train a locker room that are making a lot of money, and some of them making a lot of money, they provide a lot of value for people. You know, they're not crooks. And I don't think you can be anymore these days. That kind of generation has died out. So the reason I brought it up was just for people to have some awareness around their feelings about that. Is they think, oh man, it's such a bad thing to, or these people are bad, or they've done something evil or whatever. And the answer is 99% of the time, not at all. In fact, the reason they're wealthy is they've provided a ton of value for people and they've helped a lot of people and they've done good in the world. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, it's a... I think there's probably some older industries where it's probably still like that. There's probably some areas like finance and law where you just don't provide that much value, but you make stupid money.
Right.
Definitely still exists, I think, but it's probably definitely gone from like selling products.
Yeah.
Because selling products and services now, like, yeah, the feedback is so different. You can't just run a company and do stupid stuff. Or you can, like you said, in supplements, but they get it back.
Yeah.
They get it back pretty quickly. People with huge accounts, or it's like the groundswell of like, hey, this product doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like the skinny tea. It doesn't work. You know? Yeah. It does die pretty quickly, for sure. It is funny. The one thing I always notice is how with sports, someone that works really hard and crazy successful at sport, everybody generally heaps praise on them. But when it comes outside of sport, you get the backlash.
Why?
Well, and outside of sport, they just made loads of money. So you see the people, like a bit critical. They're like, oh, this guy, like he just made loads of money.
Well, because they can't actually see every day on Sunday night them making
They just don't
money.
Really see what they do.
Yeah.
All they see is them spend the money. That's it. That's all you see. Yeah. All you see is them spending their money, right?
The sacrifice and the hard work.
Whereas with sports, you see them doing their job and you don't really see them spend their money.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So everyone's like, man, he's just like, he's a good guy. You know, like that Tiger Woods, good guy. Yeah. Good guy deep down. Yeah. You know, he's just so good at golf. I know he just spends his time like practicing golf, right? That's all you see is just like the achievement. Mm-hmm. Whereas I guess, I don't know, what's another career? Like the ultimate accountant, who's like the Tiger Woods of being accounting.
Mm.
He's just like, all you see him is spend his money. You just see him like, you don't see him like at the computer. It's like, I just balance this balance sheet. No one could ever balance. Like you just see him driving his car.
Mm.
And you're like, oh, I think he's an asshole.
Mm. Yeah, and I think probably to add on to that, if you achieve success and you have, because I know that, and I've had this discussion with people that are very wealthy as well, that they don't like to flash their money for whatever reason. But it's not because of any rational reason. It's that they think that other people will think negatively of them. And I actually said, I think probably the best way to think about it is like, you'll actually, if you're doing the right thing and you're providing value for people, you're actually inspiring people, to be honest. You're showing them this path that you're taking, you can be very successful at it. And sure, there's like, you know, it might not be a car, it might not be a house, it could be whatever, right? It can be any other way you choose to spend your money. But I don't think you should hide your successes from other people, because by hiding your successes, I think you don't serve anyone. When you reveal them, yes, there will be people that will stand up and they will say, you're a fucking, you're a, you know, a sleaze or a chump or not a sneeze, a crook or whatever. Sure. But then there will be a whole other group of people that you inspire to do good stuff. And so I just don't think it's valuable at all to hide your successes. Obviously, there's a way to go about it. There's a way where you're rubbing people's faces just for an ego stroke. But then there's also a way to be like, hey, you know, if you want to achieve like this level of success, it can be done on this path and this is how I do it. And the people that want to listen are like, fuck yeah, that's awesome. Like imagine if no gym owner ever showed any sort of success. We wouldn't have been inspired and excited to go out and do gyms. Like imagine if we found out, I don't know, Jason Klepper was broke or something. Like that wouldn't, not many people would go and do gyms then.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it sucks.
It's not going to excite you.
Yeah. But by showing the success, sure, there'll be some people like, oh, fuck, you know, all he does is just like, I don't know, embezzle money or something through his gyms, or just make some shit up where they don't like him. But then there'll be a whole bunch of other people like us that go, man, that's really inspirational. Yeah, I want to make a
that's why like that. Man, it gets people into sport.
Mm.
You see them like Ronaldo. You're like, that looks like pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. So along that vein, I wanted to break down for some people, and I don't know if we had this discussion last week, but probably how around this question out is I really think that we've had this conversation with different people. I don't know if it's been on this podcast or if it's been just an offline conversation with you and me, but about entrepreneurship being genetic or learned.
I don't think we have.
What are your feelings on it? I've gone back and forth on it, but now, I mean, I don't think it's a black and white answer here. I don't think it's 100% one or the other, but where do you feel like you sit on it? Have you given it much thought before?
Well, we do a lot of personality testing. Yeah. At the gym. I have thought about it. And I always thought that it's like anything, right? Anybody can do it. Anyone can play soccer.
Yeah.
Obviously, some much better than others at soccer.
No matter how much that person practices.
No matter how much. And you can basically tell that from, well, not perfectly, but you could probably run like a physical test when they're younger. Like, you know, what's your stride length? What's your explosive power? What's your endurance? A mental test, like what's your grit? What's your competitive, like testosterone score? All that stuff, right? And you get a pretty good idea how good they're going to be. And I kind of say similar. Like, you can do personality testing, work out this person's more of a leader, like a bit more of a follower. This person, you know, whatever, has like really inbuilt discipline. This person doesn't. You could probably test a lot of things and be like, this person's on the really high end of being able to succeed in this. Everybody can do it. But if you're on this end, you know, you're probably not going to make very much money. It's going to be, you're not a very good one.
Mm.
You know, or you take one risk and you never take a second risk, right? Yeah. So you maybe just like have a small shop and you take a lease, but you never go any further.
Yeah.
And then there's the extreme ends of the section, right? Because that's what you notice is like there's some people that 2 years in, it's like, oh my God, you've made a phenomenal amount of progress. This is unbelievable. And clearly, their personality is wired towards it. And then the other people that can still do it, but I don't think their personality is as effective.
Yeah.
And then obviously, when you're on the lower end of it, I think the interesting thing though is on some people's personality is that they can do it. They're not going to be great at it, but they'll be really, really good as an employee.
Yeah.
And those are the people that it's really not right for.
Yeah.
Some people are not very good at anything.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah.
Very good entrepreneur, not pretty good at being an employee. But there's some people that are really good at being an entrepreneur and really bad at being an employee. They're the perfect people for it.
Yeah.
Some people are reverse.
Yeah. you know, it's so the reason I brought that up is because there's definitely now through our generation and, you know, the generation ahead of us, you know, maybe someone in their 40s and 50s and, you know, I've had this conversation with them, but the word entrepreneurship to the people in their early 20s and their late teens is very sexy. It's like being a professional athlete. The word entrepreneur to an older generation is like, oh, you're the fucking loser that's broke that doesn't have a real job. Like you live at home with your mom, like making random shit, like making stupid widgets and like trying to be the next inventor. Same exact job, paying you the exact same way with the exact same risk, rewards and payoffs as they've always been, but just two completely, and again, still the same percentage of the population that's right and can do well in entrepreneurship, so running their own thing, yet two completely different perceptions of it within the generations. Now, not that either perception is right or wrong, but I think what's interesting is for the young people listening, because it's become so popular and so sexy all of a sudden, it's not like just because it's become popular and sexy all of a sudden and you've got more tools to become an entrepreneur that you should be an entrepreneur. That is what I think is the dangerous part, is that at least in the generation, maybe they were a bit more grim, they were a bit more like conservative about it and less optimistic about it. So less people did it because like, fuck dude, I want to be a loser. So you had to really step out and be like, bro, I'm taking a risk as an entrepreneur because everyone's going to call you a loser. Nowadays, it's much easier to say, oh yeah, I'm an entrepreneur. Like I started a social media account or a digital ad agency or I do some fucking t-shirts or something. But it's like, yes, you can obviously be an entrepreneur, but just realize that the percentage and the likelihood and the risk, it's all the same as it used to be before. And I just think a lot of people feel like they're failing if they're not an entrepreneur. And I just want to say like, you can... First of all, you have to figure out if you're right for it. And I guess really the only way to know is if you try or you work for someone for a while and you decide, am I good at this employee thing or not? But I think some people potentially feel like they're not, like they're just not successful if they don't become an entrepreneur. I'm like, but that's a career path that's still only reserved for 2% of people that can be good at it. It's like people that started... Same thing, professional sports. And then somewhere along the line, like, man, I never became a professional athlete. My life fucking sucks. I'm pathetic. I guess it's because you work for much longer than you're an athlete. But people are, you know, people know like, okay, cool. I didn't end up being Ronaldo, but that's fine. Like I never even got that close. But with entrepreneurs and people wanting to be entrepreneurs, they give it a crack and they don't do it and they become an employee for a company. And they could be a great employee, but they live with this disappointment that they never ever became an entrepreneur. But it's like, but it was never right for you. It's just because you ended up in this generation where everyone was trying to be one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, the disappointment makes no sense because it's kind of like swimming. It's like you can be, you might never be right for individual swimming, but you can be on the relay.
Yeah.
And to be honest, the person on the relay who wins a gold medal is much more successful than the person doing individual swimming at his local competition.
Way more successful.
And it's a bit like that. I mean, I think you probably ask anyone, but to earn a really good salary as an employee is far easier than doing it as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Right? You need to get good at one thing. Just get really good at investment banking. You can make $1 million a year. Yeah. Right? Doing that as an entrepreneur is generally far more difficult.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to do your staff, your leadership, your taxes, your marketing, your selling, all these different skills just to get to that same $1 million. Right? It's much more difficult. Obviously, there can be other benefits. Maybe you can keep going beyond that, but it's just different. But it's not... There's really not anything so special about like the slight differences in how you do it, you know. And I think that's probably where it comes. Like you can still have a really exciting career, particularly in fitness as well, or in any industry. And the people that were probably the second employee at Bumble were probably pretty happy.
Totally.
Yeah. Made more money than 99.999% of entrepreneurs ever.
Yeah.
And they probably had to do a lot of creative stuff in their job and think of new ideas and do stuff like that. So the stigma makes no sense, really.
People just get so caught up in their head about titles and they listen to Gary Vee and they think that their life should be a certain way, but it's just not the case. It's not the case. It's still the same percentage of people that are right for the job. And to be honest, most of that 2% of people of entrepreneurs that are right to be an entrepreneur, a lot of them don't succeed as well. You know, like circumstances, timing, fucking global pandemics, you know, money not coming in, cash flow issues. Like it's just how the percentages go. Like we just give up. I think, you just got to be prepared to give up a lot.
But I think what I do like about it, though, I think where it has it over some of the other options is I do think you get faster and better personal development from the entrepreneur side.
Which, oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't know if that really attracts people into it, but it is probably a hidden benefit of it that you get when you try it. And everyone probably gets it when they try it.
But I do think the right cultures and organizations like ours, we do also help people to excel. Obviously, it's inherent. It's part of the job. You have to personally develop or the company fails. But you know, we try and instill those values.
That's true, yeah.
Upon
and you get great mentors.
Yeah. So it is organization, because there's a lot of gyms out there and you can work, and we've, you know, spoke to these people, you can work there for a long time and they have, and they hit the ceiling very fast because they're very good at what they do. And if you don't have good leadership and you don't have the right business structure and the business isn't going big, then you're going to reach the owner's, like the ceiling underneath the owner within a year, within 2 years, and you're going to be looking for something else. And so I guess that's in some ways why people, yeah, it's interesting.
It's why it's particularly rife in fitness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. You know, we're running out of time. I was going to talk about getting a dog. I'm going to talk about it when it gets closer.
You have a dog?
Well, it's been born.
Oh, wow.
I just don't have it yet. Didn't you see the photo I posted?
No, I haven't seen it. So who had the dog?
So the breeder.
Yeah?
Yeah. Bred the dog.
Yep.
And now
you're not involved in his process.
What do you mean?
You have no involvement in the birth process. You don't go watch and...
No. I pay the money and they send us the photos. I think the dog's in Queensland. So for some people who are wondering, this is it. It's a chocolate mini Labradoodle.
So small. Oh my goodness. Tell me again. Tiny. Oh my God. That's the finger.
I think it's 2-3 days old.
How fast does it grow?
I don't know. But I've been told it's worse than having a kid. That's what I've been told.
Looking after the dog.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a high maintenance.
I've heard that, yeah. I'm in.
Doesn't the mum dog do all the work?
Why do people tell me this after we pay the deposit? Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, for you when you get the dog.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like the dog's a nightmare. Like full nightmare.
I could imagine that, yeah.
Yeah.
Needs a lot of help. But I think it's much quicker, right? Because like humans have a very slow, long period of being a baby.
Yeah, I guess. But I'm getting earplugs and night mask and Ev's doing all the work to look after it. It's not going to... It'll
poor,
live...
Poor dog.
I'll be like the stepdad. It'll be like the weekend.
When do you get it?
In end of June.
How big is it going to get? So right now it's like the size of my hand.
Yeah, so I think it's going to grow to... So it's a mini poodle bred with a Labrador. So I think it gets up to like 22 kilos.
Oh, wow.
So it's not massive. It's not small.
10-year-old.
Yeah.
It's like a 10-year-old.
Like I could step on it and not kill it. Whereas some poodles...
That's your plan.
Yeah. So some poodles are so small.
You know, I'm so clumsy. I need a dog that if I step on it, it's not dead.
Okay. If I'm chilling on the couch, right? And I swing my feet off and I don't look and I step down, I could kill a small poodle.
I have cats. I'm aware how this happens. It's nearly happened many times.
Yeah. So it's in the safe zone. It's in more like I'll just damage its spine, but I won't kill it. Yeah. So anyway, we'll see how we go. Look.
See if this dog survives to week 2.
I had no interest in getting a dog. And honestly, if it was up to me, we wouldn't have a dog. Mm. But everyone wanted a dog. So we'll see how it goes. See what changes in me. Connor's pumped. He's like, yes, dog time. Yeah. Okay. Before we jump into the listener questions, we've got a few this week. So thank you, firstly, everyone who sends in those listener questions. But guys, of course, as you know, we always support amazing companies. And this week, True Protein has released Nootropics. If you know us, we love experimenting with new supplements. Nootropics, if you don't know what nootropics are, they're basically like cognitive enhancers. They have all these different ingredients. And actually, they've got these two ones. They've got Zen and they've got Spark. Now, I haven't tried Zen. Zen's their more chill one. Spark is their brain performance one. And I feel like we've been waiting for True to bring out something like this for a while.
Kind of pass us Zen.
So, I'll just give you an idea of some of the ingredients. You've got Bococa Moneri, never heard of it, 100 milligrams from the whole or dry plant. You've got Bacosides A, 50 milligrams, coffee, Arabica. Look, there's a lot of stuff in here. That theamine hydrochloride. You've got nicotinic acid. I can't read all these things. It's going to take forever. But I had 5. The recommended dose is 3. And I'll tell you what, I was switched on. I was very switched on. I wasn't... you know when you have too much caffeine, obviously you get the jitters. But I felt locked in this morning. I had an interview with Dr. Andy Galpin, which is a great interview. And my brain was like... Yeah, it was firing left to left. Words were coming out smooth. Memory recall was sharp. Like I was awake. I was alert. But I didn't feel jittery or buzzed or anything like that. So obviously it went well beyond the recommended dose. Yes, there's caffeine in there. But I felt good.
Oh, there is. Yeah.
No, I felt good. Yeah. So I'm giving it like 3-4 stars. No. Oh, shit. It's a lot of caffeine. Yeah. 3 capsules contains 100 milligrams of caffeine.
Okay, I'll be honest. I was like, I feel really awake.
Yeah.
Now you tell me that, it makes more sense. I had 5.
And so we had 100 and...
Oh, no.
We had 180 milligrams of caffeine.
Well, what I'm doing, right now is trying to balance this out by having the Calm product. I think you should, I'd recommend that. But it has got ashwagandha, which is good. Don't know Rosuvin's. I have heard of rhodiola extract.
How many shots of coffee is 170 milligrams of caffeine? Two shots?
Two to three. Closer to three.
All right. That kind of makes sense. But look, the facts are the facts. I wasn't jittery. I was switched on.
But,
sharp.
Caffeine's good. You know, it's a good product. And they've got, I think they've got a pretty good amount of it. And I think those products are usually better when they mix it with
Yeah, there's a lot of synergy between like the vitamins and the B5, B12s, the zinc, that sort of stuff. So highly recommend the Spark. Maybe don't do five, maybe do six.
Someone out there, go the whole bottle. Let us know how you go.
Anyway, the mymuscleproject.com/true. That is where you guys can pick up some of the nootropics.
If you're already into nootropics, I think it's the best for you. Because you know True gets good quality.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Listen to question number one.
Ash PT Online is her name.
I wonder what she does.
How do you increase workload capacity? She wants to be able to train more often and consistently as she really enjoys it, but she struggles to recover after big sessions. Yesterday, I did a CrossFit class, an hour run, and a 40-minute game of Oz Tag. And today,
oh my God. In one day?
Yes. This was yesterday. And today, I have zero energy. Strange. How do I keep up this type of stimulus without burning out? I do it because I love it and feel better when exercising often. Nutrition and hydration is also prioritized.
Ash, I think as you're writing this, were you thinking to yourself, maybe my body actually can't handle more than this? Look, there is just, you're just finding that there are limits. You know, I love exercise and training most of the time, but I'm fully aware that the body has its limits. And I mean, it sounds like you do training and you're a PT, so obviously you have a passion for fitness. You do a lot of exercise, you play sport, you go to the gym. There's only so much you can do. And let me tell you now, if you head down this path of trying to fit more and more and more, you will reach a breaking point. And if you reach that breaking point, you'll be in a much worse position because mentally, you'll be so used to so much training stimulus, you'll be addicted to the high of training, yet you'll be in this state where you're having to recover, you're tired all the time, you're burnt out, you probably got some injuries, and so you'll be incapable of satisfying your mental desire to train more. And if anything, you might end up in some sort of like depressed or anxious state going, fuck, I want to train. I want to train. I was training so much. What's happened? I want to go back to training more. But your knee's busted. Your ankle's busted. You're tired all the time. You're hungry all the time. So just be careful here. Maybe just be a bit more realistic with how much training your body can actually handle. Because it sounds like you're kind of at the end of how much you can handle. Be okay with that.
Well, I'll give you the other side if you really want to do more.
Steroids.
Really, it's just you need to progressively overload this. And I think you... And as long as you do it with really good technique, there will be injuries along the way. There's always injuries. But it is also astonishing how much your body does get adapted to. So, I mean, there was days where I would do a CrossFit class, a run, and do something like this. And I would be fine. It wouldn't be that bad. You know, that's three sessions. It would be okay. If you build up to it and you do training a lot, it is astonishing how much more you can do. Man, you can, like, train at a sport 9 till 5. And if a regular person tried to go at a professional athlete's thing, they would die. You would be dead 9 to 5 all day training.
Yeah.
But your body does adapt. And it is pretty astonishing how much, but it is really, really slow. And if you work a regular job where you sit down all day, you can't just on the weekend try and do four sessions. People that can do that, they are training very regularly, frequently, all the time.
Yeah, but it's the time. Okay, say you can put 10 hours into your training per week, 12 hours into your training per week. How much time can you put into your recovery? Because the professional athlete, I guarantee, can put way more time into recovery than you can. And you probably can't. You got to get up early. You got to cut your sleep a bit short. You got clients. You got stress. You got admin work you got to get done.
It gets harder and harder.
You got 24 hours in a day. You know, you might just not be able to actually do it.
Yeah, but exactly. So that's why your limit is going to be far lower than someone that can sleep as much as they know. And that limit of where you're heading towards will come down. But also I'm saying is your body will adapt. I remember... Like, I was always way fitter than my brother. And then one day out, my brother was getting for a triathlon. I was like, I'll do your training with you one day. And we went out and we, like, rode our bike for 4 hours. And I came back and I just fell asleep. Like, I just got home and just fell asleep. I was so exhausted. And he was fine. Like, he didn't need to fall asleep. He went out for a run later in the next day. I was like, man, I used to be, like, so much fitter than you.
Yeah.
And it's really just, you just get used to what you do. And when someone, even though I still felt like I was fitter than him, I looked fitter than him. If you just start putting in hours and hours of something, you just get more efficient at it and you're able to do more.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
Okay, next question we've got is GG NPU. Is it okay to train fasted? That is not heavy lifting, but workout with kettlebell.
Is it okay to train? It's always okay to train under any state.
You can touch a kettlebell without eating.
Is it optimal? It depends. I mean, it depends on the person. The best way to understand that is to measure your performance. Are you performing well without food in your body? If it's me, generally not, unless I'm going for a run. Like, I run really well on an empty stomach. Everything else, I like to be fed. Probably not super high intensity training, but I love to lift weights when I've had not a huge meal, but I've, had filled my stomach with some stuff, because when I get hungry, I think you're miserable, but I just feel depleted. But when I run, I want to feel light. And the process of running is very energizing, because it's like you're breathing pretty heavy, you're sweating, like you have a lot of energy when you're running. Whereas when I'm lifting weights, because there's so much rest time in between, I have a lot of time to evaluate my state of fatigue. And when I'm hungry, I feel extra fatigued.
Yeah, exactly what you said.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Fasted. Yeah. I assume you just mean first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not like that. Not eating for 3 days.
No, how was your performance?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I guess the only exception is that when you do really long sessions.
Yeah, you need some fuel in
the
session.
I think you need some fuel.
Yeah, true fuel.
True protein fuel. Maddie Cannon, how can anyone stay motivated when they keep breaking down? I think I'll take this. I assume you mean injured, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is tough. That's one of the most demotivating things I think out there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'll be the first to raise my hand and say still dealing with, actually, touch wood, my lower back's been pretty good. But knees, still daily thing, trying to manage. I really need to get serious about getting my knees healthy so that in going into this marathon prep training, they're as strong as they want to be. I think because as soon as I start the marathon training, I'm going to do the sessions.
You need to get them sorted.
Yeah, which is I haven't put a deadline on something like this for a while. And last time I did that is I pushed through injuries. That's just how it works. So I don't want to compromise too much there. So I think, it can be hard to stay motivated when your body used to feel a lot better than it does. But I think what you have to realize is that on the continuum of your whole life, you'll always be moving and training and going through different phases and different interests, and you just got to be adaptable. It's never going to be a perfect scenario. And whilst you're dealing with the back thing, you're going to have to do stuff that doesn't hurt the back and work your upper body. Whilst I'm dealing with the knee thing, I'm going to have to do boring knee rehab stuff and upper body training. If I've got a bad elbow, I'm going to have to just not do stuff that aggravates the elbow. And look, at the end of the day, it's this whole journey and learning process. I think the worst thing you can do is be stupid about it, get it out of pain, and then go and do the same thing that injured it again. You have to be smart about these things. You have to seek advice from professionals, physios, chiros, osteos, whatever it is. Rehab it properly and take your time. The worst thing you can do is jump back into it too soon and keep re-injuring the same area. So really you only have yourself to blame for that. And if it does happen again, you have to begin the cycle and the process again. Mate, we watched our ex-coach Starry, go from, what was the first injury he got before the Achilles?
Didn't dislocate his elbow?
Oh, yeah. Dislocated elbow. Bad.
That was a long time coming. I thought every day he was going to do that.
on a 110 snatch, fully came out. And then probably had a couple of months injury free and then snapped his Achilles.
Yeah.
And got through it. So sometimes, you think your fucking sore knee's bad, but sometimes there's a guy out there dislocating his elbow and snapping his Achilles and he's getting through it. So it's also perspective.
Yeah, I think the worst thing you can do is when you get that, which I see very common with injuries, is that you get that why me attitude where you think you're injury prone more than everyone. You're man, I had my shoulder and then it's my knee and now it's my ankle. No one has had a run like this. And everybody has a run like that.
Everyone.
And it's there's no way this is the worst. People are like car accidents, bro.
Yeah.
This is not that bad. And I remember that when I got my first injury, I was like, why me? I just want to train. And I can't even train. That is so unfair.
I promise. I just want to train.
It's you got to get your mindset right around it and realize that everybody goes through this.
Yeah.
Okay. Braun Athletics. Would Raf do anything different looking back on his Shark Tank pitch?
Give me a context. Raf and ex-business partner Rory went on Shark Tank to pitch Peak Chocolate.
How long ago was that now? 4 years ago, maybe?
I think it was pre-puberty.
End of 2017? No, I look the same. I look the same in the video. Exactly the same. Different shirt, different shorts. But if you look at me, I look very, very similar. Obviously, if you've watched it, I would do something differently. Stupid question. Fucking.
And he's asking,
who are you, bro? No, he said, would you do anything? Obviously, I would do something different, bro.
Law students, this is the... Oh, my God. Connor, we got...
We're out coming through. Okay, so it's on YouTube.
Law students misleading chocolate packaging against the law, Shark Tank Australia.
So if you Google that, you can see it. It's got
800,000 views. Yeah. Oh my God. The nightmare lives on.
I've been through the comments on this video a number of times.
Here we go. Is this sound coming through? Is the sound we're hearing also coming through for the audience right now? We don't know. Oh my God, look at you. I think you look more. How tight was that shirt? That was really tight.
That was extra small. That's one thing I would change already, the shirt size.
You actually look bigger there.
Yeah, I was going hard CrossFit, bro.
Dude, you are enormous. What the fuck? 10% of your company. 50K. So $500,000 valuation. Mm. All right, that's enough. I can't listen to it.
Okay, so what would I have changed? Pretty much everything in this.
Maybe like the product.
Everything.
Maybe the choice to go on the show.
Everything. I want to change. No, I was happy to go on the show. The show was great. That wasn't the issue.
That face. Man, that's the roasting face.
I guess what I would have changed, I would have got the experience of people giving negative feedback and then how you react to that. Because that's really what happens on the show, is they give you like really hard negative feedback, no matter how good it is. And then they obviously like wait for you to react poorly so they can snippet that into the show.
Mm.
So that's a bit of the game of the show, is I would have gone through that process, have people savage me and like record it and see if I could improve upon that.
I'll tell you what you need. You should have fucking got a better haircut though.
Well, they did hair and makeup there.
Well, obviously they didn't cut it.
No, they don't cut it. They don't cut it.
Oh my God.
So yeah, haircut, size of the shirt, I would have changed. Would have practiced getting negative feedback on it. I think going into it, I kind of fell for the show and I thought the aim of the show was to get investment on the show, but really the aim of the show, I think, is to come across really well at national TV.
It's entertainment.
So that side of things, which when you get wrapped up into it, it's like any challenge, right? You get wrapped up into trying to win it. People die on that reality TV show you were watching, right?
Yeah, alone.
Yeah, they get super wrapped up into it. So that was probably a mistake as well. If you go through the comments, some of the comments about my business partner's neck is also definitely worth your time in there as well.
Mm.
But no, I wouldn't have changed that much else.
Haircut, definitely. How are these comments? What's the top comment there? There's a bar here in the US called Away Chocolate. That's also the same.
Good shit about some neck. If you could maybe keep going down, there's like some funny stuff. For anyone,
these guys made over $400,000 in revenue last year. Who put that up? Zigger Boy.
Does the guy say he's a chemical?
How does that guy know that?
I don't know who Zigger Boy is. Oh, I think he's referring to an article. 62 replies. Wow. This guy looks like a buffed Linus Tech Tips. I looked that up. He does look exactly like Linus Tech Tips.
Is that you?
No, Rory. It's like pale white guy with a super long neck.
Fuck, they are savaging you.
Yeah, we got savaged. We got savaged.
Fuck, if only you were wearing a My Muscle Project shirt.
It's good for anyone to get 800,000 views and people make fun of them in the comments.
All right, let's go next question.
Okay, last question. Best piece of advice you would give a PT just getting started?
Man, I feel like we've done this a lot. If I was to go over it again, current information, I reckon best place to start as a PT is how we're doing our internship program. There's always this sink or swim mentality, but what happens, I think, to a lot of PTs and coaches is the only path that they see after they graduate their certifications is to work the floor at a Globo gym. And for some people, that is a little bit, you know, too much too soon, and kind of, I guess, breaks people that aren't quite ready, like need a bit more nurturing and ready to be broken, don't quite have the personality type to take on that intensity, and then they end up kind of like half doing it, taking on some clients, making some really bad mistakes, and then like half doing another job, and it's like, oh yeah, and then I do this for cash, cut grass on the weekends to support my PT career. But if you kind of get mentored, you get brought in under the right system, you get taught the right things, you have your confidence build up slowly, you'll be fine. Like imagine going and playing sport for the first time and you start in the A's and you play out in the game. You get smashed in the first tackle. You get up, you get smashed in the second tackle. You're like, I don't know, this is maybe not for me. But if you just started in the C's and you got some mentoring and some practice and some confidence built up, you'd be a very different player. You could be one of the best players ever. So it's just like, I think at the start, it's a very critical time. It's a very fragile time. I look back at my time when I started, and I was fortunate. I had some good like people around me, some good staff, good mentors that kind of really guided me. And I didn't really dive into the deep end too much too soon. And I think that helped with my confidence a lot. Yeah, and sometimes if you end up sink or swim, you build some bad habits at the start, you know, because you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the best thing you could do would be exactly what Lockie said. Don't try and think of like, how can I be the best B team? It's a pretty good question, but even better would be like, who can I spend time with to make me the best PT? Because that'll get you there faster.
Absolutely.
You sit online like, oh, like maybe I can sell this or learn about this type of training or this type of stretching. It's like, okay, it's going to get there eventually. But you could just find the best person in your area to go work for or work with, and you'll learn faster.
Mm, absolutely. All right. Raph's got a Netflix review for us. Actually, I've been watching not much Netflix because I've been going to bed early. But before we get into it, guys, of course, all the stuff we talk about is all enhanced. It's all better when you're wearing the Whoop. Auto-regulation is the future of training. Now, if you don't know what auto-regulation means, it basically means the level of readiness your body is at to take on stress on a day-to-day basis, which is essentially what Whoop was built for. It was built from the founder. He wanted to know, when I'm going into training, how ready am I to peak? Am I ready to perform hard? Am I ready to train hard? Why do I feel really good on some days? Why do I feel really bad on some days? And the Whoop kind of like lines up the dots and helps to answer a lot of these questions so that you can get more out of your training, because when you auto-regulate training, you get injured less, you recover faster, and in the long term, that helps you make more progress. The only thing getting in the way in you and your progress is, you know, the injuries and the recovery. So definitely, if you guys haven't already, you get a $44 discount when you join through our link. So themindmuscleproject.com/whoop. That's WHOOP. Join the Whoop train.
Man, I was sweating so much today, and I've just realized it's because I had so much caffeine in those nootropics. No, all day, I was like, why am I sweating? I'm like hot. I'm like burning up.
Because they gave you 3 shots in one nootropic.
But the problem was also I went and got a coffee. I didn't realize.
Oh, here, bro, Zen.
I didn't even know.
We need Zen.
Okay. Netflix documentary. I watched this one. It's called Why Did You Kill Me? It came out on the 14th of April. And it's an American documentary. And it follows Belinda Lane as she tracks down those involved in the murder of, it's her cousin, like her first cousin, they were very close, called Crystal, using MySpace. Now, very old school, obviously, this one, because they're using the whole thing centers around this MySpace trackdown.
And it's factual.
Yeah, it's 100% factual. So they're talking to all the people that was in. If you like true crime documentaries, you will like this one, but it's not the best one there's ever been.
Okay.
So it's not like in the upper echelon of Netflix
true crime documentaries. What's up there for you? Making a Murderer?
Yeah, that one.
The Staircase?
That one was good. Staircase was really good. There was the one around, like, where they put the bomb around the guy's neck. I think we reviewed that one, yeah. And it blew up.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty gripping.
Yeah.
That
was intense, that one.
Yeah, that was super. It was pretty good, but it wasn't as intense as that. I'm trying to think. Nah, there have been some. It's probably not right at the top there. It's very popular. There was actually the one quite recently. It's probably better than this. Did you watch the one around the guy who kills all the women?
No.
This one's good. The Yorkshire Ripper.
Oh, I had some friends tell me about it. I've heard it's quite good.
We mixed two reviews into one.
Okay.
I've watched that one as well. Much better.
Okay.
That one is absolutely nuts. And it's following like there's like the really famous Jack the Ripper, who's like from a few hundred years ago, he killed a few women. And then this guy like kind of copies him, right? Becomes like the Yorkshire Ripper, which is a different place in England.
Yeah.
But he kills so many more women. Goes on for years and years and years. Like they can't stop him. Dude, it was so much so that they basically said, don't go out at night. Any women.
Oh, fuck.
Any women in like...
But men, completely safe.
Completely. He doesn't go after men.
Yeah.
He just kills women.
But like, what if a man was with a woman?
He only goes after women by themselves. Yeah, that's like his style, right?
Right.
I guess a smart strategy.
Yeah.
Get them when they're vulnerable alone. I think he would pick them. I think he was mostly picking up prostitutes, put them in the car, and then they'd die. But it got to the point where basically, if you're a woman in pretty much the whole of London, it was like a curfew.
What year?
I think it was the 1970s.
Oh wow, so fairly recent.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah, absolutely nuts. Imagine that. Imagine like all of Sydney. They're like, women don't go out at night.
Yeah, that's for one person.
One person.
Yeah, I guess in some ways that is what makes it harder. because it is one person. It's not like a gang.
No, and that's the thing. It's like one weirdo who you would just never, ever guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, like, how can you stop someone like that, right? Yeah. Who's just picking up prostitutes, killing them. Mm. And he starts to, like, do non-prostitutes, whatever. So, anyway, this one was, like, pretty good. Probably, like, a 4 out of 5, that Yorkshire Ripper one. I think it's just called The Ripper. It's probably more like an 8 out of 10.
Whoa, hold on. You just said the same thing. You said 4 out of 5 and 8 out of 10.
Oh, sorry. 4 out of 5 for the... No, no, I didn't mean 4 out of 5. 2 out of 5
right.
For the one I was just recommending. Why Did You Kill Me?
Yeah.
But the MySpace track down. It's like a recent
murder. No one's going to watch that one.
Nah, it sucks. But probably a 4 out of 5. Yeah, 8 out of 10. Same thing. 4 out of 5 for The Ripper.
Okay. Yeah.
That I would really... You should watch it. I'd recommend it.
All right, cool. I'll do that. All right. There we have it, folks. As usual, it was an absolute pleasure to speak to you and have an hour of your time. If you guys enjoyed it, please share it with someone else. As you know as well, we are for the month of April. We are still doing the Phase 2 programs for 30% off. So if you have done Project Fitness, Project Body, or Project Strong, the initial 8-week cycle, you can now get Phase 2, which is the 12-week cycle at themymuscleproject.com/phase2, which is the number 2. And you'll get 30% off at that link. Guys, thank you as always, and we'll speak to you next week. Thank you, Project, for tuning in again to another episode of the My Muscle Project. We release an episode every single Monday. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram, the My Muscle Project, to stay up to date with everything we're doing. And if you have some time, leave us a review and a 5-star rating on iTunes.
And don't forget, we have a second show of the week, The After Show. So it's no longer a rest day on Thursdays. If you have any questions for Lachlan and I for that show, head to themymuscleproject.com/theaftershow. And if you ask a question, we'll answer it on the show.
Thanks again so much, Project, and we'll see you all next week.